Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good Friday to you. It is SB Nation Radio. It is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver, glad you could be with us. I think we're all smart enough to know that we're not going to be taking our come back to normal cues from anybody in sports. No sports coach, no sports general manager, not even an owner is going to give us an accurate timeline for when we're going to see sports come back into our lives. That being said, I understand the criticism of people wanting to throw all the arrows at guys like Dabo Swinney, at guys like Mike Gundy. It makes a little sense because of their over-optimism that we're going to have college football in the fall, and you know we're even going to have NFL football in the fall. You can't blame them at a very tough time in the way they handle this. I can't blame them because they don't have the final say, and they know they don't have the final say. So in that regards, they're just trying to live a life where they're believing in the end that their sport that they are preparing for, that they care about, that they love, that they know is very important to the overall economics of the institutions in which they coach, that they're going to be able to have it. It's the fall is still months away. We feel like we're making progress in this, and they believe that in the end we're going to be doing that. How do you prepare? How many things get shut down in the preparations? Like I said, brand new rules, so there's no spring games, so there's no spring workouts, et cetera, et cetera. You're just going to have to deal with the hand that you're dealt. You're going to have to play the hand you're dealt, and so all of these college coaches are going to have to go into the season with a lot less preparation. That's fine. Everybody's in the same boat. But if you are one of those people that's looking to these coaches, if you're one of the small minority of people looking to these coaches, don't do it. Don't do it. Because they are trying really hard to present something with that comes from their gut, not from any science or anything like that. Like I said, I think most of us understand that Dabo Swinney's not the authority on when society returns to normal. But he is trying to give lend his voice to the optimism that's out there. Whether that is, you know, that is completely way off base or whether he hits it right on the money, he's just throwing his optimism for us to digest.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are at SB Nation Radio, Wake Up Call, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. So I was saying at the top of the hour, listen, you obviously don't take your cues from coaches in college football that says we're going to have college football this season. It's a gut feeling, and they're just overly optimistic. Some athletic directors were polled, though, and some are nervous that college football is not running this year, what would the economics of college sports look like? I saw this story yesterday, and it was one of those moments where I had to say, what? Wisconsin is saying that they're not allowing their seniors to come back to participate in the spring sports that were canceled. Remember, the NCAA said that schools would be allowed to do it, but they didn't say that was a guarantee for student athletes. So if your institution doesn't want to offer you a scholarship and doesn't want to bring you back, they don't have to bring you back. They can say your spot on the team is not available anymore. You're not being offered any financial package to come back for your senior season. So Barry Alvarez, who was once the head coach there, is made the point that he's just telling his seniors that, sorry about this. We're, you know, apologize, but go on, get your degree and move on with your life. Just do what you're going to do. It's a tough decision to make, I'm sure. In a place like Wisconsin, that's got a, you know, strong athletic presence, right? I mean, strong football program, strong basketball program, you know, in a Power 5 conference, makes money, lots of money, that they looked at the probably looked at the economics and said this is not going to make too much sense, especially when you have the uncertainty of the college football season coming up. Look, I know many of you know this, but I mean, these money sports pay for so many of the other sports within an institution, especially football. But here's the thing. The football program in and of itself is still paying salaries of assistant coaches. I mean, look, in the college game, you can make $1 million a year as a strength and conditioning coach. I mean, you can make good six figures being in that department. You know, you can make $1 million a year as an offensive coordinator. You can make $2 million a year being one of the top line defensive coordinators in the game. I mean, there are high salaries in the football department. And there's high salaries across, you know, along the way. And football pays for a lot of that. It also pays for the scholarships of the student athletes in the non-revenue sports. You know, you can have a nice golf team, example, or a swimming team or whatever, based on the revenue that is generated from the sports that do make a lot of money. Now, what if there isn't any? What if there isn't football? What if football is reduced to a point where the income doesn't allow you to take, you know, to go down the list of all of the things you have to pay for with that money and you can't pay for it. So again, the NCAA making the decision to say you can bring back your senior athletes to play in the spring sports that were canceled, the baseball team, the softball team, golf, a couple of others that were on the list. But that was each school has an individual decision to make on that. It isn't, again, a student doesn't get to do it by right. It doesn't get to do it by decree. It gets to do it out of the good graces of the school in which they're participating. And Wisconsin is saying no, and I guarantee you there's ripple effects that now trickle down. Other Division I schools will be looking at this. And like we said with the NBA, when the NBA canceled its basketball game to the coronavirus and then suspended its season, there would be a domino effect, and there was. There's going to be a domino effect here, without question, that you're going to see a lot more big schools say, thanks, but no thanks. We really are sorry that this happened to you. But business is business, and we can't afford it. And so we're not going to do it. So while we thank you for that, we can't do it. Because there's shortfalls in the budget. Because they're not making the kind of economics that they did before. The economics are off. And there's a scary, scary problem ahead with football. Now, if football comes back and let's say it starts in October and you make some of the revenue back, well, at least it's something. But, and again, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I think we're going to have football. What I'm presenting is the possibility of no college football, and what does that mean across the board for the athletics? What does it mean for the payments for the athletic facilities that you were building? What does it mean for a whole bunch of things that are coming along? So these spring athletes that had their season cut short and these seniors, well, here's the other thing, and it is not even seniors. Remember, this was not just a senior thing. This was allowing a freshman who had their season cut short to get that eligibility back. So they don't, you know, so now they have four more years. Now, I don't know what they're doing with that decision, because that still might be a payoff that's down the road that they can handle. But what they're saying is, seniors, please just take your degree and move on with your life. But on the other side of that, it's got to be tough if you're a senior athlete in this regard. Not so much playing, because playing is always, you know, the thing you want to do most. But there's also the other side of it. Wisconsin is asking you, as a senior, to please take your degree and move on. But that senior athlete who may have thought at the initial ruling by the NCAA, well, maybe I'll actually have a place to go in 2020, 2021. Maybe I'll actually have something to occupy my time in this troubling state of the country right now. Wisconsin asking these seniors to take your degree and go, what are they going to? Like, what's out there? No one's hiring, right? In terms of where you got your degree. Everything is shut down. We're in an economic crisis. I wonder how many of those thought, well, Maybe I'll get my scholarship back and I'll just stay at Wisconsin. And I'll at least have a place to be and something to do while the economy bounces back. And now that's off the table. So this is something that, pay attention to it, because you're going to start seeing big decisions coming from a lot of these programs, especially in terms of coaching salaries, in terms of hiring coaches, if they're going to, as we get closer and closer and we can see whether or not football will be the full season, half a season, whatever it is. What does that mean for other scholarships? I mean, you're talking about a loss of millions and millions of dollars if there's no football, if there is no football. And you just don't make that up. Where do you find it in the budget to keep other programs alive? I mean, they're already feeling the pinch of canceling the basketball tournaments. Right? They're already feeling the pinch of shutting down for some of the schools, some of the revenue that comes from spring sports. There's a lot of big-time baseball programs out there that do carry a little bit of economic impact onto the budget. You know, South Carolina's got a big baseball following. Florida's got a big baseball following. In the Southeastern Conference, it's a big deal. In other places, it's a big deal out west. So it was one of those stories where when I saw it, I thought, you know, this is one of those stories that's going to get a little bit of run, but it's got big ramifications in the sports world. But here's the hope. The hope in the end is that football does go down and nobody loses anything. No kid loses a scholarship. No kid loses an opportunity to play their spring sports when spring sports is supposed to go on. I know these schools can get loans and all that other stuff to keep the machines rolling, but I'm telling you, it's a big, big chunk of the financial pie if we get to the first weekend of college football and there's no football. If we get to, you know, if we get through September and there's no football and we're still like maybe October, maybe November, and then we're waiting for that dreaded drop dead date where we're like, oh God, if we don't have football by October 10th, they're just going to cancel the whole season. Now, again, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm optimistic that we'll have these sports in play. I don't know what the fan situation is going to look like. I don't know what it's going to be in terms of how much revenue these schools are going to be able to generate. But I think we're going to have something in the fall. But Barry Alvarez coming out and saying, please take your degree and move on to something else.
No, we got to have something in the fall.
Yeah, we do.
It's not enough to say hopeful. We have to.
Have to. Right? But I don't know. This is, and again, I think we will. I really think we will. But we're arresting people going outside playing catch with their kid. How do you go from that to 22 guys on a football field in 6 months, whatever it's going to be? What is it? Let's see, it's April, so 5 months. How do we go from that mentally, right? How do we go from people who are mentally breaking down? There was a prosecutor, I think in Illinois, that said, if you are outside, I will arrest you and I will charge you with felony assault and you can die in prison. Whew. How do we go from that? And that's an outlier. Don't get me wrong. That's an outlier. That's not
right.
The norm.
That's the extreme.
That's the outlier. That's the extreme. But how do we go from that where people are like, damn right I will call on my neighbor if they even think about going outside? Right? How do we go from that to going, yeah, football's back, baseball's back, basketball's back, it's all back. Great. Who says that? Who is going to be the person that says, it's all good, everybody? Trust me. It's a virus you can't see. But trust me, it's all good. Where do we go? Like, how do we do that? Now, I just hope that there's a plan in place. I don't know. So I'm using naivety on that to make me believe that in the fall we're going to have football, because I believe that the business of football is just going to find a way. It's just going to find a way. They're just going to be like, look, we'll test, we'll temperature check, we'll do everything, we'll play in front of nobody, but we're having this because it's too important. It is too important to the fabric of this culture to just have it not exist. And I do think there's enough time to see the curve go the other way. I do think there's enough time to start saying, look, we've got to start implementing and start putting people back and start, we're going to have better testing and quicker testing and all that stuff. I'm very optimistic and all that. But when you're going from an idea that out being outside or taking a walk with your kid is enough for somebody to go, I'm calling the police, to let's all gather in stadiums or let's watch 100 people on one side and 100 people on the other side all get in locker rooms and meetings and physical contact during the week and traveling on planes and coming to get, you know, and getting in stadiums and all the trainers that have to deal with the injuries, and that's all going to be okay. Mentally, we have to make that adjustment. Mentally, as a society, we're going to have to flip, because there's too many people who are saying, if I see people outside, I mentally can't handle it. Like, there's people mentally, they can't handle it in certain pockets of the country that are just going, I'm freaking out when I see somebody go for a walk with their dog. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But I'm with you, Ron. I am hoping everybody's gut instinct on this is correct. I'm optimistic that it will be. But it does suck for the seniors, though, that had an opportunity to come back and they went, Wisconsin was like, nope. Bye. You're not getting any money. No money, no spot on the team, no nothing. Because I wonder how many of them were like legitimately happy when the NCAA came with that ruling. Like, oh, great. Oh, I really was looking forward to this baseball season or this whatever. And then Wisconsin was like, sorry, take it out. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up in 15 minutes. It is Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Get on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Michael, who's always like a voice of reason sometimes on this show. We always glad he tweets us. It says, football seasons, NCAA and NFL, will be uninterrupted this year. I believe we've seen the worst of this virus. Plus, this virus will go into spring-summer hibernation because it doesn't like the summer heat just like the flu. I've heard that. I don't have the science to back that up. I'm going to trust you on that.
Hope you're right.
I hope you're right. I've heard that from a couple of people. The experts seem to be saying that. But I don't know who's an expert. That's my thing.
That's the only problem.
That's the thing. That's one of the issues that we've talked about before, which is, you know, again, who as a country do we trust enough to, when they go, you can go back to work, you can go to sports arenas, and you can go, like, that we go, absolutely, thanks.
Is it Good. Dr. Fossey?
Is it him? Is he the guy? Because he's like, we may never be able to shake hands ever again.
Ever.
Now, you may be somebody that wants to hug your mother because she's old and might be on her last, but you won't be able to.
Why is your Dr. Fossey voice one step away from Gilbert Gottfried?
I know, right? On the one hand, I want to know what the other hand is doing, right? And my Dr. Fauci impression is more like, well, it's more like if you have two people in a room, it's better if one of them leaves. So in the future, let's say you're taking your family to a restaurant and there's four of you. It's better to just get four tables.
I wonder,
and just eat dinner alone.
Would he go to Philip Rivers and say, hey, you got to choose?
That's right. Yeah, right.
And I feel bad. I keep picking on Rivers, but he's no longer my quarterback, so I can't now.
You can. And he's got the kids that make it fun.
Yeah.
He's got the family that makes it fun for these kind of conversations.
That, you know, when the CDC comes out and goes, yeah, we should probably social distance no more than four people in a group. I mean, does Philip Rivers, he goes, all right, you guys are on that wing of the house.
Yeah.
You guys are on this wing of the house. Mom and I will take turns visiting you.
That's right. And please limit the visitation to maybe once every 2 weeks. That would be the best. To keep this completely under control. I don't even know if that's a good impression of him, but I just like doing that voice.
I have no idea either. I don't even know if that's what he sounds like, but now that's what he sounds like.
I don't, I just like doing, so I'm just going to, that's just going to be my, my, Dr. Fauci voice. I don't even know if it's on point, but
if you come at me with if I hear his voice and it doesn't sound like that, I'm just going to assume that's in a.
So if you hear his voice and he sounds like,
if I see him on the news and he doesn't sound like that, then I know that that's not the real Dr. Fauci.
Okay.
I've heard him a couple of times, and that was
in my head when doing the impression. So that's my new Dr. Fauci voice. So I apologize to him in advance if he doesn't come close to talking like that. So when I was in Colorado, I did an absolute perfect impression of Dan Hawkins, who was the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, because for whatever reason, I could just do it. I think every one of us can do an impression of somebody. I think like guys like, Rich Little can do thousands, but I think everyone has the ability to sound like somebody else. For whatever reason, I could sound like Dan Hawkins to a perfection. So I did a lot of radio bits where I was Dan Hawkins doing a variety of different things because it was great. But it was one of those things where the voice was in my head for whatever reason, I could just mimic it. But in this case with Dr. Fauci, I think I've heard him once, but when I see him, he sounds like somebody that I used to know that looked like him. So that's probably where the impression is coming from. That's probably the voice I'm associating with him without any real evidence to back it up. So, nevertheless, but you know what was interesting? Seton Hall did I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. Seton Hall did a poll that said to fans, like, said, when will you feel safe going to games again? And, like, now they had a very small sample size, which almost makes the poll kind of invalid because they only interviewed, like, 700 people. But over 70% said they wouldn't go back to sports unless there's a vaccine. That's, again, it's very small sample size, so I wouldn't even give it a lot of credit. But let's say somebody does a real national survey, national poll, and they get like 10,000 people or whatever sample would make you feel legitimate if you're a commissioner of a league. That's something I need to look at.
Yeah.
Right? Because if 75%, let's say you do it, let's say you do 25,000 people. And let's say you get 75% of them that says, I'm not going without a vaccine. If you're the commissioner of these sports, you then have to go, well, great. At least I know now when I want to put the games in front of no fans, there's a legitimate reason to do this. Like, why would I say to the Lakers, hey, we're all clear to play at the Staples Center. If I'm only going to be able to get 5,000 people in that arena, somebody might say, well, it's 5,000 more than what you would have had if it was nobody. But the league could say, yeah, but if I knew it was going to be nobody or not enough, I had other alternatives that would lower my costs. I could gather in one location, et cetera, et cetera. At least I can formulate a plan with no fans that makes more sense to my owners than pretending fans are going to show up and they're not. Right? I don't know. I would like to know vaccine. I'm going to wait it out to see how it actually looks and goes, or just tell me the date and time. Like, those are the three options. If you're a fan, for you to get a ticket to an athletic event, whatever, name your athletic event, doesn't matter. For you to go to a stadium or arena, is it, I need a vaccine? Let me wait out and see. Let me see what it looks like. Let me see what my friends and family and people I know are doing. Let's see how it looks. Or do you say, I don't care. I've been in my house forever. I don't care. I'll be fine. Even, maybe that sounds nuts, but whatever. To each his own. I will go. I will risk it. I am going to the first game of the Atlanta Braves at SunTrust Park. What makes sense to people? Because that kind of survey that Seton Hall did, I'd like to see that expanded. I'd like to see that huge. I mean, I don't know. And again, I don't know where they did it. Seton Hall, if they're doing it locally in New York, New Jersey, well, that's a different sort of mental mindset to the virus than somebody in like Nebraska. But if I'm the NBA, Major League Baseball, and I'm trying to figure out how do I get back on the field, if I've got a national survey, a real big national survey that says 75% will not go until there's a vaccine, at least I can start with that premise and go, okay, look, now we don't have to do this where we're all traveling across the country. We can be in a confined area and run our games that way.
Wake up call continues now.
time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb here on a Friday. End of the week, yet another week. And, you know, we're trying to get the good of the good. Let's get the good of the day.
I got two goods, but they're all two under goods. One category.
All right,
fine. And that category being Tiger King.
Tiger King, yeah.
I just keep coming. I mean, every single day.
Every single day,
there is something new happening with Tiger King. What we talked about, you know, earlier this week, I had mentioned to you that there was a possibility of another episode of Tiger King coming out. I also had talked about President Trump looking into pardoning Joe Exotic.
That's right.
Pardoning, I guess.
Or pardoning Joe Exotic.
Pardoning Joe Exotic. Well, I got an update on that, not on the pardoning part. Hopefully we get that soon, because that'd be fantastic. But I did get an update on the next episode.
Okay, go ahead.
Or episodes, I should say. Netflix will be airing a Tiger King after show, which will be hosted by Joe McHale, and featuring brand new interviews with some of the major characters. I didn't want to list them all down.
I'm a little interested in this. There's sort of a, like you said, an epilogue to this. I wouldn't mind seeing how those guys retell some of their stuff, or at least come out and go, hey, I look a little different, whatever.
Yeah.
And I want to set the story straight on a couple of things. Yeah, I might be interested.
Like, who is
in that.
The one guy who had no teeth?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
The producers of Tiger King purposely told him to take out his teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, he'll probably be on camera with his full set of teeth going, yeah, this is how I look every single day. I don't walk around looking like that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm curious. You know, I mean, it's going to be kind of fun. They will, like they said, they will be new interviews with a lot of the people that we fell in love with. Or I don't know if love is the right word for it, but I really don't know what the word would be.
Is there a concern that there's an oversaturation of the product?
Of course there is. But you know what? I mean, I think right now Netflix is like, well, we got to capitalize on this because the numbers came in. There more viewers tuned into Tiger King for Netflix than Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to capitalize on it all over the place.
Sure they will. There's no doubt about it. My whole thing is, though, to me, and again, I don't know the business model, but it's not a ratings show. So if you've got the subscribers, I mean, where they get a lot of buzz is people going, Tiger King on Netflix, everybody loves it, and I don't have Netflix, I'm going to get Netflix. But then who's getting Netflix for Tiger King 2?
Yeah. Well, right? I think it's just, you know, hey, we're coming up with another Tiger King show. Maybe it's just to try to grab people again. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. But not to be outdone, Fox and TMZ are teaming up.
Now, what are they doing?
And they will have an hour-long special about what really went down with never-before-seen footage.
Okay. I got
now,
you. Again, can I make a point? Steve Avery and Brendan Dawson, the two guys in Making a Murderer, are probably going, yeah, where was our Fox television show follow-up?
Exactly. See, that's what I'm more excited about that one, because now you got TMZ involved. They got all the videotape.
Yeah, they totally do.
They probably have. They could possibly have videotape of Carol Baskin feeding her husband to the tigers.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, exactly.
Or maybe that is classified right now, but will be aired at a later date.
Meanwhile, you got a crime that's being relooked at. You got tip lines opening up. People are like, I want to know what happened afterwards. Like all of this stuff, and it's. It's the new. It is absolutely the quarantine phenomenon of it all.
It is. So, it is.
It's great.
I mean, we can't get enough. I mean, when it reaches, you've reached your peak when it reaches the president.
Yeah. The president.
It doesn't matter who's in office. I mean, we've had it happen before where, like, you know, whether it was President Obama, President Clinton, President Bush, it doesn't really matter. When they've mentioned something in pop culture, everyone kind of sets back and go, oh, we need to take a look at this.
I like the way Trump went, I'll look into it. He's not going to look into it.
Right. Yeah, he already knows. He's already made up his mind.
Looking into it. Somebody tell me I deserve a pardon.
Yeah. But, hey, remember, what was it, Kanye and Kim Kardashian?
They got
I can't remember that who that lady's name
details,
was.
But they got somebody
they
paroled,
got someone to
pardoned. I'm
pardoned,
sorry.
So
they got somebody pardoned.
We can. Yeah. This could happen. And this might be coming from his son. Why wouldn't he listen to his son? Don Jr.
Don Jr. was prepping him on
Don
this?
Don Jr. said that this would he thinks it would be awesome, especially for the memes.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Can I just, let me just, I'm trying to, I want to bring everybody back to reality a little bit. If he actually did pay this guy to go down and murder her, he deserves to be in prison regardless of how fun he was on
right.
a documentary special. Like, everybody calm down a second. Like I know it'd be fun if he was back doing goofy things on the TV, but if he actually did pay somebody to murder another human being, he deserves to be in jail.
Now, when he ran for president, was he on the Democrat ticket or the Republican ticket?
I don't know. I think he
or
was
is
on
he
a,
independent?
He might be independent.
Because maybe Trump would say, hey, you know, I can't pardon you. You ran against me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Maybe you said awful, awful things about me in the past.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the epilogue of this because I do like the second
so
stories of this. So I'm with you. I like this. So I'm glad to see it. Especially Jeff Lowe. I want to know what he's doing. I'm more concerned about the women and the sex cult of the
That's the only problem. They're not,
If they woken up and went, I'm out of this.
Doc Antle isn't on this list. The people being interviewed will be John Reinke, Joshua Dial, John Finley, Saf. So we get to see her. She was like the sanest one, I believe.
Sanest one of them all, yeah.
Eric Cowie, who I believe that's the blonde guy, right?
Might be, yeah.
With the you know, we just, I don't remember who. Rick Kirkman, I think that was the producer.
That was the producer that was going to make millions of dollars.
Yeah, I'm glad we get to see him again. And, you know you missed them, Jeff and Lauren Lau.
Of course. Yeah, I want to see both of those.
Yeah, and their nanny.
I want to find out if Lauren went back to the gym like Jeff said she had to.
She probably did. And I want to know, is the nanny, you know, is the nanny nannying? Or did you deal with the fallout of the nanny going, no, they paid me to be just take photos.
That was all fake.
It was all fake.
I'm not
the real nanny. Maybe they have a Miss Doubtfire nanny.
I used to like the reunion shows of when I was younger of Real World, right?
Remember
that Real World, and then about a year later, they'd all get together again, and they'd be like, oh, what happened to your lives?
Do they put them all on the same couch? Because remember, that's how you got the fighting to start happening again.
That's right. That's right. Michael says Joe Exotic was a libertarian. That makes sense.
Yeah, right. Of course he was.
All right, so are those the two goods?
Those are the goods.
All right, the bad.
The bad of the day is the good.
Okay.
Because I can't believe how involved we are with Tiger King. But not only that, what's really bad is that this Netflix special premieres this Sunday.
On Easter?
On Easter.
Yeah.
We can't have this on Easter.
Push it a little bit.
You know,
down the road.
At least Fox and TMZ's combined joint thing, they looked at it, well, let's not do Easter. We'll do it on Monday.
Yeah.
Monday's a better day.
Monday's a better day.
You know, they know that there's nothing else going on. Fox is looking at their programming going, well, we're not showing any baseball right now.
Yeah.
We'll get their attention on Monday. You can't have Tiger King, you can't have a show like this be premiering on the holiest of holy days.
Yeah, you can't. A lot of the programming is a lot of the, you know, the Jesus story and
the
resurrection story of Easter. And like last weekend, I think it was last weekend, the Ten Commandments was on the start of Passover week. And, you know, there's a lot of, you don't want to throw Tiger King into that pool.
Yeah, It's a very religious time for a lot of different religions.
A lot of people. And, you know, so don't throw this into that. You know, I mean, I saw Passion of the Christ is going to get aired on one of the networks.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so you have a lot of these very spiritual and meaningful shows that mean a lot to people this time of year.
We're going to throw Tiger King in the mix.
Push it off to the side.
Yeah.
No one's going anywhere. So trust me, you're going to get your views.
You can do what Fox and TMZ are doing. Make it Monday. Because by Monday, we're over it.
Yeah.
We're past all the religious feels that one may have this coming weekend. And by Monday, we're ready to just, you know, hey, man, let's party.
Exactly.
You know, I need me some more Joe Exotic. Come Monday.
Humor me with this because when I was talking to my wife the other day and we were on I was going through the guide and I went and I said, hey, I wonder if they still air this. And I searched Here Comes Peter Cottontail, which was a Easter Rankin Bass claymation production from when I was a kid. Now, I haven't seen it in decades. I mean, decades. So I just wanted to know, and it's not up. It doesn't, nobody airs it. And I thought it was weird because it was, it's Vincent Price was in it. He played Iron Tail. It was like an evil bunny that was trying to destroy Easter. And it was kind of a convoluted story. But nevertheless, it was Rankin Bass, Claymation, same deal as like Christmas, but they love to hit us up with that all Christmas. But this one, I guess, just is not testing well anymore, so it's no longer on television.
No. I was going to ask you, I mean, before, because I don't really remember it at all. Well, this is a DreamWorks one. I was going to ask you, are you sure that's not the Mandela effect?
No. You know what? During the break, I'm going to Google it. Just to make sure.
I found it. It is there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Vincent Price was a voice of it, and it was pretty cool.
Came out in 1971.
The bunny, the Easter bunny, Peter Rabbit, I guess, he's got a bunch of eggs he's got to get rid of, and there's some machine that allows him to jump the calendar to different holidays. So he paints the eggs for the holiday to try to get rid of them, and then it's a story. But it doesn't, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is, somebody put a lot of work into that, thinking they were going to get like a good 60-year run out of the claymation feature. And they went,
They were probably thinking it was another Rudolph.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll be running this forever.
Forever.
It's like when I'm done with this long Easter project of this claymation show, this will stand the test of time. And they went, nah, it won't.
Yeah.
It'll be on for a couple of years, and then it'll disappear from the calendar.
Well, you know what it is? Easter just doesn't get that much love.
No, it just doesn't. It
doesn't get as much
love.
There's
a lot of Easter specials that are out there. So.
Although this year probably will be more about chocolate, finding eggs, and Easter Bunny than it is about church, because no one can go.
Yeah, nobody can go. Exactly.
Can't go
to
church.
The dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day is that it took Disney ESPN execs to tell Dana White to stand down.
I know. I saw this story. Amazing.
These UFC events.
Yep.
I was on the same boat. That is amazing to me that it took all these guys to say, hey, you got to stop.
What was the quote from the one ESPN executive that said, look, we want sports as much as anybody, but this ain't a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where this guy is building his own private island.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like a bad James Bond movie.
It does.
He's got a secret lair. Everyone kept saying it's undisclosed. Like, okay, you know, I mean, are we really at that point that we're going to have sports in an undisclosed island to make sure no one gets there?
No, we can
hold off on it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He had to cancel one fight and was very upset about it because one of his fighters was quarantined in Russia.
Right.
Like, Russia wasn't allowing anyone to leave. And he's like, wow, what are we going to do? I'm losing money. I was like, yeah, dude, there's a pandemic going on. Look outside your door.
It's amazing. It is amazing that, like, you're right, that the networks who are dying for this product, for sports, dying for live sports that has some meaning, said, yeah, but no. Yeah, here's the quote. Nobody wants to see sports return more than we do, but we didn't feel it was the right time for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what the variety of reasons
it's
are.
It's not a variety. It's one.
It's one.
It's one reason.
We got it. We understand.
Come on.
But you're right. They were not in the same mindset of Dana White trying to get this thing up and running.
Is he hurting for cash? Because that's what it feels like. I mean, it feels like you're putting on these events because you got to pay someone off.
Like, I know. That's a great point. You know, that's a really good point.
That's the only thing I could think of is, you know, I mean, because if you truly are, you know, president of the UFC and you sold the UFC to a higher bidder and you're sitting back on, you're sitting on a pile of money, like Scrooge McDuck type money, then why not just say, we're going to take a break?
Yeah.
You know, basketball's doing that. I'm certain there's NBA players, MLB players who need to pay I know for a fact spring training players need to pay the bills.
Sure.
Because technically they're not allowed to work or they're allowed to work. It's confusing what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do. And these fighters, you know, most of them are dropping out anyway. It's like, yeah, I don't need to be in a cage with someone right now.
No, I don't. Good for the television entities putting that thing together, saying no, thank you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, they're taking a risk. They know that they would probably be featured highly
Yeah.
Because they'd be the only live sport going on. We're watching re-airs of Major League Baseball games, NBA games, Masters tournament. That's our sports for this weekend.
We want everything. Yeah, exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on SB Nation Radio. It's the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, back to that Dana White story, and listen, I applaud him for trying to do so. I don't know how hard it is. I mean, if you're Dana White, you have a tremendous amount of connections, right? You are president of one of the more popular sporting events in the globe.
Well, the fastest rising sport. I mean, that thing came out of nowhere.
He's got connections. So how hard is it to secure a private island? Maybe for him it's easy. Maybe it's as difficult as if I was trying to secure a private island.
Did he just go to the last overlord and goes, oh yeah, cheap, huh?
Yeah. Right.
Does it have a volcano?
Yeah, exactly.
I need my private lair to have a volcano.
Yep, and a shark tank, and maybe a piranha pit, maybe a table with a laser on it. Right? Exactly.
Is it too much to ask for laser beams on a shark?
And by the way, why did every underground lair have one of the best like monorail systems, like
all
transportation?
The time. Yeah. All,
like a track that went to every location and the henchmen would just get on it and like buzz their way to
but
any
we
part
can't
of the
get
lair.
It, we can't get it in any city in America.
No city could have this, but somehow the supervillains of the world had it first thing.